So first of all, I'd just like to apologize. I've just arrived and I'll only be able to stay here for 1 hour or so, but if you have any question, I'm happy to discuss them at the uni. So I'm going to present the work we've done over the past year with Eric, as well as collaborators from different institutes, mainly CSIRO, the University of Oxford, and the University of Groningen. And our work is on climate change and Tasmanian lizards. So as you all know, climate change will affect species physiology, phenology, and distribution. And in some cases, some species may be able to adapt. So it may lead to adaptation. And as highlighted here in a paper by Leslie in Australian Ecology in 2003, unfortunately, Australia lacks the long-term data sets and tradition of phenological monitoring that have allowed the detection of climate change trends in the Northern Hemisphere. And to detect those trends in species' response to climate change, we need to select suitable species as indicators. And well, we find that reptiles are very suitable indicators because they are ectotherms, and therefore they are strongly influenced by climatic conditions. For example, their activity pattern, their foraging or breeding, their metabolism, their growth rate, or even their embryonic development is very climatic sensitive. However, despite all this, it's very surprising, but they are poorly studied in the context of climate change, especially compared to birds or mammals. So why study Tasmanian lizards? Well, they are very interesting because they have a series of adaptation to cold climate. For example, we have some species here that are viviparous, so they give birth to live young, which is very rare among reptiles. And we also have species that reproduce every second year in order to produce young in the warmest part of the season, and that's also very rare among reptiles. And Tasmanian lizards have, we found that their embryonic development is very sensitive to climate. So what happens when females are pregnant with the climate affects the offspring phenotype very much. So it affects a lot of offspring traits, including date of birth, size at birth, and in some cases, offspring sex. So as you all know, with climate change, species climatic envelope, which is here represented in yellow, will most likely shift towards higher altitude and latitudes. And as a consequence, if species don't want to go extinct, they'll have to either track their climatic envelope, or otherwise they need to adjust or adapt to a new climatic envelope, or perhaps do both. So first of all, we were interested to see what would happen if Tasmanian reptiles were able to track their climatic envelope. And to do this, we did a distribution modeling using climate features for Tasmania prediction of climate, which are unique around the world because they give very fine-scale predictions of climate, which is very important when studying species on a small island like Tasmania, which would normally only fit in one grid cell of prediction. Here we get, as you can see, very fine-scale prediction. And what we saw is that Tasmania will warm up, but not uniformly. So we have the coldest part of Tasmania, which are the central highlands here in the middle, which are predicted to be the part that will warm the most over the years. So what does that mean for Tasmanian reptiles? Well, we looked at different species of the genus Nivoskinkus, the snow skinks, and we grouped them into two groups, the special species that are adapted to very cold or extreme conditions, and the general species that tend to live in milder climates that are more widespread. And what we found is that, well, for the special species that already live in the coldest part of Tasmania, with climate change, their climatic envelope will slowly disappear until it disappears totally, and then they are predicted to go extinct. However, for general species, even though the trend is the same, because because they are so widespread, their distribution is predicted to contract into the coldest part of Tasmania, but they are predicted to remain. Those predictions are in concordance with prediction for reptiles around the world. Those are two very famous papers you've probably heard about that also predict that reptiles are threatened by climate change, and that some species, especially special species or tropical species, are most likely to go extinct with climate change. However, as I said before, species might be able to adapt or adjust to a new climatic condition. And so to try and understand how species would do so, we use a model species, the spotted skink, Nivoskinkus oceratus, which is a viviparous species. and its embryonic development is very sensitive to climate, as I will show later. And we chose this species because it's widespread in Tasmania. Here in yellow, you can see its current distribution. And it's important to study widespread species because it means they have been able to colonize new climatic conditions in the past. And so they have been able to adapt or adjust in the past. And we wanted to know if this might allow species to adjust with climate change. So our work in our lab mainly focused on looking at how climatic variation affect these species in a cold alpine site and a warm coastal site. So we chose population at the extreme of the species distribution in terms of climate. And we look at this using a long-term ecological study. So for nearly 13 years now, we've been collecting, each year we collect about 100 females from each site, from a cold alpine site in the central highland and a warm coastal site on the east coast of Tasmania. We catch them at the end of pregnancy so that they experience the whole of gestation in their real environment, so they experience the climate. And then we bring them to the lab about a week before they give birth, and they give birth, and then we measure and sex their offspring. And this is just a graph to show the temperature difference between the sites, which is pretty significant. So then we combine those results with some experimental approach and some theoretical approach. And this has led to an exciting number of results which have been published and are being published right now. And I'll just try and talk briefly on our main results. So with our long-term field study, we found that in warm years, offspring were born earlier, so that the embryonic developmental speed was affected by temperature, and that the warmer it was, the faster the embryo developed. And this was the case for both populations. In blue here you have the cold alpine population, and in yellow the warm coastal population. And each dot represents an average for a year. And we also found that date of birth was not the only trait. Many offspring morphological traits, including mass at birth, were affected by climate. So here you have offspring mass. And in both sites we saw that in warm years, larger offspring were born. So this is most likely because nutrient transfer and metabolism are temperature-dependent processes in reptiles. But importantly, what we found that in both sites, no matter, despite the difference in temperature, females, mothers were able to produce good quality offspring, either in the warm coastal site or in the cold alpine site. And we wondered how. So to try and answer this question, well, we took females this time at the beginning of gestation from populations that were not the same populations that we use for our long-term data set, but populations that were very close to those populations. And we brought them at the beginning of gestation, we brought them to the lab, and we placed them into either cold treatment, which consisted of 4 hours of basking, so they could bask for 4 hours, and a warm treatment where they could bask for 10 hours. And those treatments, the warm treatment corresponds to what they would normally experience if they were on the East Coast in the warm coastal population, and the cold treatment corresponds to what they would normally experience if they were placed in the Central Highlands. And what we found over the year is that females tend to compensate for cold temperature by basking more. So they maintain higher temperature in the cold treatment and lower temperature in the warm treatment. So here on the left you have the warm population. If I can see and on the right you have the cold population, and in grey is the average, in grey here and here, it's the average percentage of females that are basking. And you can see that in the cold treatment, more females are basking than in the warm treatment, here represented in black. But importantly, we found that this behavioral response has led to local adaptation in maternal basking behavior, because we see that in the females that come from the cold population always tend to bask more, no matter in which treatment they are. So they always tend to bask more, and therefore they have been selected to bask more as an adaptation to cold climate, which is probably what has allowed the species to become widespread. However, maternal basking behavior was not the only adaptation we found. We found, as you probably know, in reptiles there are two types of sex determination mechanism. There's genotypic sex determination, like in mammals where you have sex chromosome and this leads to a balanced sex ratio. And you also have temperature sex determination, where the temperature that the embryo experiences during development affects its sex. So it's a plastic response to temperature. Oops, sorry. And what was interesting is that in the spotted skink, we have both type of sex determination mechanism. At the warm coastal site, we saw that there was a link between temperature and sex. In warm years, we have more daughters that are produced, and in cold years, we have more males. But in the cold alpine site, where there was no link between temperature and sex, and the sex ratio, as you can see here, was roughly balanced. So we were interested to know what triggered the evolution of alternate sex determination mechanism in the same species, which is very rare. And to try and understand this, well, we did an individual-based simulation model, and I just explain our results here. But what we found is that when there is a high variability in climate, and when being born early benefits both sex equally, then we have evolution towards genotypic sex determination. But when there is low variability in climate, and when being born early benefits one sex over the other, then we should have evolution towards temperature sex determination. And interestingly, this fits to what we observe in the field, in the wild. We know that in the cold population, in the central highlands, the climate fluctuates greatly between years. And so if they had temperature-dependent sex determination, then their sex ratio would also fluctuate greatly between years, which wouldn't be beneficial for population dynamics. And however, in the warm coastal population, we know that temperature do not fluctuate that much between years. And we also know that being born early does benefit one sex, but not the other. As we found out, is that in the warm coastal population, we found that there were more daughters that were born early in the season and more males that were born late in the season as a consequence of temperature sex determination, and also because offspring date of birth is linked to temperature. And interestingly, we know that being born early means that you you reach adulthood being larger. And we found that this is very important for females, but not for males. If a female is large when she reaches maturity, then she's more likely to have a higher reproductive output than if she's a smaller female. But for males, it doesn't matter. Even if they're large or if they're small, their fitness or their reproductive output is the same. So, in conclusion, TSC has evolved in the warm side because it's important for females to be born early, so then they reach maturity and they are larger when they reach maturity. So our theoretical model did match our field observation. So just in conclusion, well, we saw that some reptile species were predicted to go extinct as their climatic envelope disappeared. But with the spotted skink, we also showed that there was potential for adaptation to new climatic conditions, as I demonstrated here with maternal basking behavior or sex determination mechanism. So we know there is an evolutionary potential, but from our result, we don't know at what speed evolution has occurred in the past. And therefore, we are still unsure if evolution will be quick enough with this rapid climate change. If there's no evolution or adaptation, then we will most likely observe change in phenology, because you saw that temperature did affect date of birth, changes in physiology, so we might see shifts in offspring mass, or for population with temperature sex determination, temperature-dependent sex determination, we might see shifts in sex ratio, and this may lead to changes in distribution, potentially extinction. Thank you.